It is Locked On Jazz for the 20th of February, a major schedule extravaganza, geek out, breakdown, look that no one else possibly would ever be stupid enough to put together and give to you. But we will do it coming up on Locked On Jazz, the massive 25-plus game schedule breakdown for the Western Conference playoffs. It's next on Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA Insider. This is our yearly schedule extravaganza show coming up for you here on Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, a lot of geeky numbers today. You can get it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Jazz. If you are new to this, this is the third year in a row we've done this. It's absurd. It takes forever. It means I'm way behind today, but it's kind of fun. All right, here is the concept behind this show. I have used the website 538, which gives a win probability to every remaining game in the season. I have charted every game and put every game into one of five categories. So let me give an example. The first night we get back, Portland plays Brooklyn. Portland has a 57% win probability in that game. Houston plays the Lakers. They have a 61%. Kings play the Warriors. They have a 7%. Each game has been broken into five categories. Anytime you have a win probability of 80 to 100%, as the Oklahoma City Thunder do when they play the Kings on the 23rd, or as the Jazz do when they play the Mavericks on Saturday, goes into certain wins, 80 to 100%. Should wins are 60 to 80% win probability. Pick'ems are anything between 40 and 60%. Unlikelies, 20 to 40%. No chances, 0 to 20%. Because we have 2 years of data, one of the interesting things we have is we now know that teams win at a little bit higher rate going into the playoffs than they do in the regular season. So if your win probability is at 78, you actually probably win at 82 or 83. The other thing we know is that there's a span in this where teams get tired. The last 2 years, there's been a dip midway through where teams get tired and start to lose some games they shouldn't lose. And there's some interesting things about this year's schedule where I'm not sure if that's going to happen, and I'll go through that. So what we know from 2 years of data is that the 80 to 100 win rate is actually about 92%. The should wins, 60 to 80%, are actually 73%. The pick'ems, interestingly, are right on about 51, 52%. The unlikelies are 32, 33%, and the no chances are actually at that 10 or 12% you'd expect them to be. So there's a little bit higher rate of winning than you'd expect out of these games. That, I think, is important, and we'll go through it. Here's what we have for the show. I'm going to set up how that just kind of built, as I just did. I'm going to give you where the Jazz sit on this. Then we'll look at the trends of the schedule. Then we'll look at when teams play Western Conference opponents, because there's some interesting things that take place on that with each of the schedules. And we'll walk through each team and project where they are, and then we'll look at how we think the year is going to play out. So that's the plan for the show today in our schedule extravaganza. So this, like, if you're like, don't want geeky stuff and project, go away. But this is, and we will follow this. Now, this will be a part of Locked On Jazz every single day for the rest of the way. So, for example, as we talked about on the first night, we know Portland plays Brooklyn. That's a pick'em game. Those are pretty important. Well, you'll see what's going to determine the playoffs and what gets really interesting here and how this plays out. And we'll talk about some of those games coming up. So, let's look at the Jazz specifically. The Jazz play 8 games the rest of the way against Western Conference playoff teams, 4 of them in their final 4 games. Sacramento, Lakers, Nuggets, Clippers to close. Some of those teams could be out of it or in it by those final 4 games. So that could be interesting that some of those games may not have quite the impact on the Jazz that we anticipate. So that's the first one on the Jazz. We play eight games the rest of the way. We play the Thunder and the Nuggets coming up right out of the chute in tough games. We play no games where we have with less than a 20% win probability. We play two games where we have a 20 to 40 win probability, and they're two of our first four games back. So our Thunder game is a 35% win probability. Our Nuggets game is a 25 win probability. Those, if we could get either of those, it'd be probably the difference between the way the projections look, home court and not home court. Interestingly, like that's how big a deal that is. The one thing on the Jazz schedule is with only 32 wins right now, there aren't a lot of wiggle room games. Like you can't make up. We don't have a lot of games where we can make up ground. We just have to win the games we're supposed to. Including, you know, we have a 64 win probability against the Bucks, which seems really high. We have four pick'em games. Four games that could go either way. At the New Orleans Pelicans and at the Memphis Grizzlies, back-to-back games on that road trip coming up here in March. That two-game trip is mammoth. We come back and actually have a 60% win probability at home against the Thunder. So we have two home games against the Bucks and the Thunder where we're favored with pretty high win probabilities that are going to be really, really vital to pull off. The other two pick'em games don't happen until the end of the year, where we play the Lakers in LA on the 7th of April and then play the Clippers on the final night of the year back in LA. Who knows where the Clippers sit. I actually will see. I have them as a playoff team, but I have them going down to the wire with the Lakers in a pretty fierce battle. I would suspect, though, the Lakers will have finished their season the night before, so that game might not mean anything to the Clippers at that point if they're already in the playoffs, unless they're trying to get a seeding up to 7 instead of 8. So actually, the way I look at it right now, that game should have something on the line probably. I'm looking at both the Clippers and the Spurs coming in at about 46 wins at that point. And we'll see whether or not, obviously, it has any impact. But probably a game where they're playing to avoid the 8th playoff spot and the Warriors and get the Nuggets instead in the 7th spot. And the Spurs will be doing the same, playing in Dallas that night. So now, San Antonio could have played earlier that night. So you never know. But that's how soft our schedule is. Two unlikelies, two of our next four games. Four pick'ems coming up here on that road trip, and then two of our last three games. Everything else in between is a should win or a certain win for the Utah Jazz. Now, some of them to me, maybe I don't have as much faith in us as I should, but Bucks at 64% feels like that's a little bit of a tough one. The road trip, Brooklyn Nets are at 8-8. That must be a home game against Brooklyn. The road trip is Washington 61%, Knicks 85%, Hawks 71%, Bulls 75%. We've really got to sweep that. A Lakers home game at 82% feels like a lot, but they play the night before. So the schedule lines up for us pretty well. We have 9 certain wins, 10 should wins, 4 pick'ems, 2 unlikelies. If you grab that and take, okay, of the 9 certain wins, we should win 8 of them. At the win rate of the shoulda wins, we should probably win about 7.5 of those. The pick'ems, we probably should win 2.5. So let's go with between the should wins and the pick'ems, let's go with 10 of 14. And our unlikelies, I don't have us grabbing either of those. That's 18-7 to close and a 50-win season for the Utah Jazz. That's where I project the Jazz out on this schedule, 18-7, 50-win season. Today's show, well, now coming up, we'll start to look at all the other teams. Denver, Oklahoma City, Portland, Houston, San Antonio, Clippers, Kings, Lakers, and see how they play out. Today's show is brought to you by The Store, 6200 South 20th East. I skied Solitude on Saturday with a bunch of my friends who were in town, some Red Bull TV guys that were fun. And we stopped at The Store afterwards, and I have to tell you something. I learned something. So I'm allergic to nuts, as you may know. I only order the mudslide cookie at The Store because it has no nuts. They had the Royale. They had the cranberry something. They love these cookies. Evidently, every cookie at The Store might be as good of the ones on the top of the tray that are made by The Store as the one as the mudslide. There's a distinct pot. These guys loved them. Tip of the hat to Charlie, who buried three of them on the drive up the canyon. Don't know how he does that, but that was kind of awesome. They're big cookies. This was all at The Store, 600 South. Charlie's like, this is the greatest grocery store I've ever been to. It's just got a great vibe to it. There's so much fun stuff. There's grabbing all the local people and the local vendors and putting them in and spotlighting them and giving them the opportunity, whether it's June Pie or the lady makes the chips, or we had grabbed some great salsas from Salsa Diablo, and we had a blast when we got back having our chips and salsa, and actually then watched some crushed ice Red Bull stuff. Check it out. 600 South, 20th East. You'll feel the community feel around the store. And if you want to pretend that the weather's ever going to get hot, next door is Cottonwood Ace that has the best Traeger setup in town. That's all at The Store at 6200 South and 20th East. Today's show is also brought to you by our friends at Homie. The real estate world has been one way forever, and Homie is revolutionizing the real estate world and changing. No need to just automatically pay 6% on all of your deals. Why? Why are you paying that? Why does that matter? Why does the fact that maybe you upgraded your house or made it nicer or did a better job with it have no relevance on what your house price is? That seems ridiculous. And now, if you look at the numbers, Homie is selling houses faster than the market, selling them at a higher value than the market. The team approach that Homie is using is not only saving you money, but getting better results on the market. So if you're in the market to sell a house right now and you're looking, check out Homie by texting LOCK, L-O-C-K-E, to 88588. Learn more about my friends at Homie by texting LOCK, L-O-C-K-E, to 88588. That's LOCK, L-O-C-K-E, to 88588. All right, let's run through the other Western Conference teams. Let's start with Denver. Denver has 8 certain wins. Now, realize that part of the reason Denver's projections are so good is because they've played so well. They've played a softer schedule, so they should be all right. Denver opens. This is really interesting. Denver plays 5 of their first 7 games against other Western Conference playoff teams, and then Dallas and New Orleans and the Warriors. So that's their opening 8 games, 5 of 7. And then they actually play Minnesota and Dallas again after a little break. Then they don't play another one of these Western Conference playoff teams till March 28th, where they close playing 6 of their final 9, including a game against the Warriors against other teams. So they play 11 games against other Western Conference teams in this grouping. They have 8 certain wins. They've been so great at home. 7 should wins, 4 pick-ems, 4 unlikelies, and 2 no-chancers. They play the Warriors and both times in Oakland, have no chance on those. Projecting out Denver, they're currently at 39 wins. You'd say that they'll win 7 of their 8 certain wins. They'll win 5 of their 7 should wins. Give them 4 of their pick, 3 of their pick-ems, and 2 of their less than 40% games. That's 16 wins the rest of the way. We project Denver to win 55 games, and we'll see whether that holds to the 2 seed. So 55 wins for Denver. We just had Jazz coming in at 50, so there's, you know, they've separated, have done a good job there, deserve credit. All right, let's look at Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City opens with a ton of games again against, and this is kind of, you'll see this as a somewhat interesting trend on some of these teams. Oklahoma City plays four of their first five and seven of their first 10 against other Western Conference playoff teams right out of the chute here, opening with us, and they have a 65% win probability against us and 86% against the Kings. Then they do not play from March 12th all the way until March 29th, another Western Conference team in this group. And that's somewhat similar. They close then with four of their final seven, and they play the final night of the year in an interesting game. They play at Milwaukee in a chance where they have an unlikely to win. And yet maybe Milwaukee's not playing for anything, and they're playing to match Denver along the way. They play 11 games as well against other Western Conference teams. They will match up on the 29th at home of March against Denver. That's going to be a big game. And they play Denver the 26th, so two more games against Denver. What do we project them at? They have eight certain wins, so let's give them seven wins there. They have seven should wins. We'll do the same thing we did with Denver and give them six of those. They'll get four of their six pick-ems. That's a little high, but let's give them the credit. And they have four unlikely, so we'll give them three there. They end up, that seemed really high. Let me make sure I just had them going 20-5 the rest of the way. But that's, look at Oklahoma City. This is, if they're as good as everyone says, they only have four games that are unlikelies the rest of the way. So if we do that again, 7, 6, 13, give them a split of them of the pick'ems and give them one of those other games, that gives them 16 wins the rest of the way and has them, or 17 wins the rest of the way, and they come in at 54 wins on their projection here. And they could, you know, there's a chance, if Oklahoma City is all that, they don't usually lose to teams that they shouldn't lose to. They could go 8-0 on their certains. They go 5-2 or something of that certain on their shoulds, or six wins on those certains, and they could roll this thing up to 55. Oklahoma City could be that number two seed if they're as good as everyone sees. Everyone's buying into them right now. So Denver one game ahead of OKC. OKC out of reach for the Utah Jazz. Can the Jazz get the fourth seed? Now is the next question. Let's look at Portland. Portland opens entirely playing Eastern Conference teams out of the break here. They play the Thunder on March 7th, and they play the Clippers on March 12th, and they sprinkle in a Spurs game on the 16th. But those are the only three games that they play against Western Conference playoff teams in this grouping until April 5th. So Portland is going to go play every other team with great opportunities for them to have some success. So they do have a tough little Boston, Toronto, road trip Philadelphia. They play three tough games coming out here early. They only play seven games the rest of the way against Western Conference playoff teams. Portland plays just two certain wins they have along the way. They have one on March 9th, which is a certain win, and they have Dallas at an 80%. We call that a certain win. So they don't have the ease of games. They do have nine should wins, which is the second highest total to anyone in the group other than the Utah Jazz. A lot of games between 60 and 80. Cleveland on the road. The Clippers at home. Pacers and Mavericks and Pistons and Nets and Bulls and Hawks and Grizzlies. Games they really should win. Sacramento on the final night of the season. They have eight pick'ems. Portland kind of is the most interesting team to me because they have the most wiggle room here of pick'ems and unlikelies other than Sacramento, who's just got a brutal schedule you hear about coming up. They have 14 games that are in between 20 and 60 in their win probability. If they go steal those games, Portland rockets up and has the fourth seed as the home court advantage. Let's project it. Let's give them both of their certain wins. Of their should wins, they play nine. Let's give them seven of those. That's probably a little high. Of their pick'ems, that usually comes out about 50-50. We'll give them four. And of their unlikelies, we'll give them two. That finishes them with 15 more wins the rest of the way and gets them to 49 wins. Now, understanding that they have the ability to take that up to 50, 51, 52 with these middle range games coming out. Brooklyn right out of the chute, at Charlotte 51%, at a Memphis game at 51%, Thunder early. So we'll know early on Portland whether there's, but they project out right now at 49 wins, with winning 15 the rest of the way, and being there. Let's look at Houston, and then we'll wrap it up with San Antonio, Clippers, Kings, and Lakers. Houston plays the Lakers on our first game back and does not play another game against one of these Western Conference playoff contenders, not in counting the Warriors, until March 22nd against the Spurs. So they go play the Raptors in the East, and they play the Mavericks and the Hornets and the Warriors in there and the Timberwolves, but they don't play any of these other kind of fierce positioning battles. They then close the year, though, playing some, but not a huge amount. It's really interesting. They play five of their final seven games against them, and they only play seven games the rest of the way, does Houston, against any of these Western Conference teams that, you know, at this rate. Let's look at Houston. They have nine certain wins the rest of the way. The Hawks, the Heat, the Hornets, the Suns, the Hawks again, the Spurs at home, the Kings at home, the Knicks, the Suns. They have nine certain wins. I'd be stunned if they dropped any of them, frankly, with the way they play. They have eight should wins. So the Rockets have 17 games left with a 60-win probability or more. The Jazz have 19. The Rockets have 17. Denver and Oklahoma City have 15. Portland has just 11. San Antonio has 10. Clippers have 8. Kings have 6. And the Lakers have 9. Understanding a little bit of this is based on how teams have played, right? But still, they sit there with that. They have three pick'ems, Houston does, against, and those are coming up late. They play the Warriors. They have a 44% chance at home. They have the Pelicans that for some reason they have a 42% chance. I think they'll probably be higher on that, unless they're for some reason traveling. And their third one on the pick'ems didn't just show up right away to me. And then they have four unlikelies and one no-chancer. Surprising that the Rockets, as good as they are, have a game that's a no-chancer, but it's a 20% against the Warriors here on their second game back. So let's walk through. Let's give the Rockets eight of their nine certain wins. I'm almost tempted to give them nine of nine. I'm going to give them seven of their eight certain wins, though. Of their three pick'ems, let's be generous and give them two of the three. And of their three, of their five unlikelies or no-chancers, let's give them two. They win 19 games the rest of the way and win 52 games. So 19 wins for the Rockets. Maybe that was a little aggressive on just with their age, that they don't drop a game somewhere along the way. James doesn't have a bad game, but we gave them eight of their nine certain wins, which is kind of on the odds. Seven of their eight should wins feels a little high. And that gives them 52 wins on the season. So the Jazz at 50, the Blazers at 49, but they could easily move up. The Rockets at 52. So the way it looks right there is of those teams, Rockets grab the fourth seed, Jazz the fifth seed, Blazers the sixth seed. But again, the Blazers can move up a little bit. Before we set that, though, what about the Spurs, Clippers, Kings, and Lakers? We'll look at that when we continue. Today's show is brought to you in part by Murdoch Chevy. Tyson's such a good dude, and they're having such a good time up at Murdoch Chevy. Beautiful place right by Woods Cross, and they've got some nice deals going for you as we still have the love event of February. We want to give you the love in February. What's taking place in February? President's Day weekend, you came to Murdoch for the best deals, and some of those are still existing today. Best looking truck on the road is the Chevy Silverado. I drove it. They had $13,000 off the Chevy truck for President's weekend. I'll bet you can still get that deal. Upgrade your family vehicle to the spacious Tahoe for up to $9,000 off, and winter weather is not a problem with the 2019 Equinox. This month, you get $7,000 off that. I've driven the Equinox. Great mid-sized SUV. Had the third row seats, I think, on the one I had. Maybe not. Maybe I'm getting confused. But really solid drive, quiet, good pickup. The Silverado was the luxury truck that was just totally awesome to drive. And I also loved the Colorado truck as well. That's all at Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross as well as in Linden. All right, let's go to the Spurs, who come in at one more win than the Jazz. Can they get the? Do they have a chance to catch the Jazz? They have another one of these similar things where they don't play a lot of the other playoff teams. So it will be curious to see. They only play five remaining games against other Western Conference playoff teams. Very different than what many of these teams. And they don't have any big games late. They close with a tough game against Denver, but their final games are Hawks, Nuggets, Wizards, Cavaliers, Mavericks. So we'll be curious to see what happens with the Spurs here, because they if they kind of click in, Derek White comes back and they look better, they actually have a schedule that should be able to help them out. They play only – now, some of these numbers are different because their differential is not great, so they're not going to be given as a favorable rating by 538, but they have four certain wins, 10 should wins, 7 pick-ems, 3 unlikelies, and 3 no-chancers. They play the Rockets on the road. They have a no-chance. They have a Nuggets on the road, which is a no-chancer for them. So they have some – and they play Toronto right out of the chute in their first game back in the DeMar DeRozan return to Toronto game on the 22nd. So if we project out the Spurs – let's give them, just to be nice to the Spurs, all four of their certain wins. We'll give them 4 of 6, that's a little low, of their should wins, 4 of 3 of their pick-ems, or 4 of 7 of their pick-ems, and they play 6 games that are unlikely or no chancers, and we'll give them 2 would be generous, 1 would be probably most likely. It's obviously not the most scientific system right there, but it doesn't really matter. If you give them those 13, 12, 14 wins the rest of the way, they end up at 47 or at 48. So that's 2 games behind the Jazz at the 50 if the Jazz don't burp along the way. San Antonio kind of settles into that 6th spot with 47 wins, unless the Clippers catch them. We keep thinking the Clippers going the other way after Tobias Harris, but let's take a look at the Clippers. We're going to know on the Clippers early. The Clippers open up playing 5 of their first 7 games against Western Conference teams, playoff teams, and 6 of their first 9. Actually, no, just 5 of their first 7, excuse me. They open with Dallas, 61% win probability. They got to get it the first night out. Then they come to Utah, Sacramento, unlikely to win that. Lakers, unlikely to win. Thunder and the Blazers. They're actually kind of projected to drop possibly all 5 of those. They're not favored in any of the 5. So it'll be, we're going to know on the Clippers right away. 5 of their opening 8, excuse me, are Western Conference teams in this mix. Then, if they survive that, they don't play another game of that nature until the final 3-4 games of the season, where they play 3 of the 4 and get stuck with the Warriors in the middle. But the Warriors could very easily be resting. So that gets to be this opening stretch on the Clippers of where, how they come back from break, where they stand, are they still engaged, is going to tell us everything about the Clippers' playoff run. They have 9 games against other Western Conference foe in this ilk. Overall, they have 2 certain wins, 6 shoulda wins, 7 pick-ems, 5 unlikelies, and 3 no-chancers. Those unlikelies are really interesting. Those are 20 to 40% win games. If they can grab any of those, one of them's against the Lakers, another's against the Celtics, another's against the Pacers, another's against the Timberwolves, of all weird things. Because I think it's because they're on the road. If they can, I think the Clippers can make some inroads on those and suddenly make a little bit more of a run. So let's give the Clippers their 2 certain wins. Of their of the wins, sorry, I had to look at it. 6 wins against the Clippers, 6 games should have wins. Let's give them 4 of those, but also give them, go 4-7 in their pick-em games, or 3-7, excuse me. And they're unlikely games. They have 5 unlikelies and 3 no chances. Let's give them 3 of those. I think the you know, this is what we're going to find out in the Clippers. We're giving, being a little generous. That's 13 wins the rest of the way for the Clippers. That gets them to 45 wins as the standard that has to happen there. Two games behind the Spurs, five games behind the Jazz. Can the Kings or the Lakers catch them? The Kings play, open up with the Warriors, then they play the Thunder, then they play the Wolves, then they play the Bucks, then they play the Clippers right out of the chute. They get two Knicks games, but then a bunch of other hard games. They actually don't play a lot of other Western Conference playoff teams until the very end. And they might be done by then, actually. This schedule is so brutal. They play eight games against the other Western Conference playoff teams, but the Kings play just two certain wins, four should wins, two pick-ems, nine unlikelies, and eight no-chancers at Boston. Listen to these. At the Warriors, at the Thunder, at Boston, at Philly, against the Lakers in LA on a back-to-back is classified that. Against the Rockets, against the Spurs on back-to-backs, against Utah on a back-to-back. Maybe the Clippers can overcome that, but that seems, maybe the Kings can overcome that, but that seems really brutal. Give them their two certain wins. Give them the three wins that they should get. That takes them to five. Their pick-ems, they'll split them. That gets them to six. They win, let's be generous, and give them four of their nine unlikelies and two of their eight no-chancers. That's 12 wins the rest of the way. They finish with 42, three games behind the Clippers. And that gets interesting because that means they're out of the race pretty it's clear they're out of this thing by the time they play the Jazz and the Trailblazers late in the season. They have very little chance to win those games anyway. So the big question, does LeBron make the playoffs? LeBron plays four of their first eight games against Western Conference playoff foes that matter. Actually, check that. It's only three. I somehow had the Bucks in that group. Then they go and play a bunch of other teams, and they close playing four of their final five games. There's a whole span in the middle where there just are not a lot of head-to-head games. So what's the story on the Lakers? Their projection, honestly, I feel, because they played 19 games without LeBron, is not as high as it should. So we're going to adjust to that. They have only one certain win, plus 80% win, and that's against the Kings. But they have eight games that are shoulda wins. Some of these are in the high 70s. One against the Clippers, one against the Knicks, one against the Nets, one against the Wizards. Those games there, LeBron's going to will, if he stays healthy, wills them to win. They have eight pick'em games, but they're teams that they probably are going to beat. Pelicans, Grizzlies, a Nuggets game that's tough, a Celtics game that is tough. The Clippers, the Jazz, the Blazers, eight of those pick'em games, four unlikelies and four no-chancers. So let's walk the Lakers down. Can the Lakers catch the Clippers 45 win total? And again, the Clippers could fade a little bit that we talked about. Give them their one certain. Of their eight should-have wins, let's give them seven because they have LeBron. Of their pick-ems, let's be aggressive and give them six of the eight pick-em wins because LeBron starts to get them to win those games. They go back to of the unlikelies, they will be aggressive and give them two. And of the no-chancers, let's call them no-chancers. They're just not that good. They win 16 games the rest of the way, finish with 44 wins, and are out of the playoffs. The Clippers at 45. The end projection, Denver 55, Oklahoma City 54, Houston 52, Jazz 50, Portland 49, San Antonio 47, Clippers 45, Lakers out at 44. Could be crazy to watch. By the way, one note for you. As of March 1st, I have the Jazz down as far as 8th or 9th in the standings, so don't panic when that happens. That is your extended Locked On Jazz schedule extravaganza. Have a good one. Talk to you soon.